Revelation 5 and Matthew, the book of Matthew, chapter 1. Revelation 5 and Matthew, chapter number 1. Tonight, is anybody need a handout? Lift up your hand if you did not receive one. I actually need one, if you guys wouldn't mind bringing me a handout. And if you need a handout, just lift your hand up. Tonight, I want to look at an angelic job description. What do angels do? What is their purpose? What events take place in the daily life of an angel? Stanley, Lessa, good to have you guys here tonight. Y'all remember Stanley and Lessa Bates, and they moved back. They backslid on God, and they moved back to the panhandle of Florida. But I'm just kidding. Stanley's in our Bible Institute. Stand up, Stanley. And Stanley surrendered to the ministry and has been taken in our Bible Institute classes. Isn't that great? Amen. And so we're excited about that. And Stanley and Lessa were such a vital part of our church when they were here and, of course, moved. And now they're serving the Lord there. By the way, they've got a Bible study group on Monday night. They get together with that group and they're going through online on our website the book of 1 Thessalonians verse by verse with that group each night. They listen to the audio and they take the notes and then they discuss it. That is so exciting to me. This morning I was talking to them after church and Lessa taught Stanley what an angel does. She said, "Let me tell you what an angel does." She said, "An angel cooks and cleans and does laundry and cleans the house and takes care of you." And I looked at Stanley, I said, "You better acknowledge she is an angel, okay? You just need to acknowledge it and go on, right?" But, you know, seriously, what events take place in the daily life of an angel? Well, when you contemplate the life of an angel, I don't know what you envision. Maybe, what do you envision an angel doing? Some people envision an angel floating around on a white cloud and playing a harp all day and, I don't know, making spooky sounds, you know? But is that what an angel does, yes or no? Well, no, that's not what an angel does. And that's not what we see in the Bible. As I mentioned previously, angels are mentioned over 250 times in the Bible, about 300 times. And in this particular lesson tonight, I want to examine God's Word and from God's Word, kind of create an angelic job description. Now, let me tell you, what the points I'm going to give you are general. But under those points are a lot of specific actions that angels are seen doing in the Bible. So you can kind of get an idea about angels by looking at all these things. And that's why, by the way, you know, your notes tonight are three pages when we came in. Because some of the things that we're going to go through, we're going to go through quickly, but we're not going to look up every verse, we don't have time, but we're going to look at several things that angels are seen doing in the Bible. Now, what I want to do is I want to begin with Revelation chapter 5, and I want you to go there with me. And in Revelation 5, verse 11, John is up in heaven, and he has been transported forward in time, John has, and he's been lifted up into heavenly places. And in verse 11, he says, "And I beheld, and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne." So there's all these angels about the throne of the Lamb, the throne of God. And it says here, "And the beasts and the elders, and the number of them," the number of the angels, "was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands." So we looked at that last week, multitudes of angels. Verse 12, "saying with a loud voice, Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing." Go over to Revelation 7, chapter 7, and notice verse number 11. Revelation 7, 11. It says, "And all the angels stood round about the throne and about the elders and the four beasts, and fell before the throne on their faces," and what? Worship God. I want you to get the first point in your handout. The first point is this: angels are seen in your Bible offering worship and praise to God. They're seen offering worship and praise to God. There's a verse I have in your handout. Look at it with me. Psalm 148, verse 2. It says, praise ye him, all his what? Angels. Praise ye him, all his hosts. You know, you read the book of Isaiah, and Isaiah mentions some type of heavenly creatures in Isaiah 6, verses 1 through 3, called seraphim. And they're above God's throne, and they're singing his praises as they call special attention to God's glory and God's majesty. In your handout, it says there in the verses that we just read in Revelation, the angels are worshiping Jesus with a loud voice. They're worshiping Jesus with a loud voice. Now, folks, I cannot prove it beyond any shadow of a doubt, but if I were to take my Bible and then from that derive a principle, I would guess that each angel spends an ample amount of time each day just worshiping Jesus Christ and praising him and enjoying him. Now, the question is this: does God just want angels to worship him and enjoy him? No, look in your handout. John 4 says, but the hour cometh and now is, when the true worshipers, Jesus said, shall worship the Father in spirit and truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Here's a great question. How much time do you spend just worshiping, praising your Father, praising your Savior, Jesus Christ? Did you know that like the angels, you were created to worship God? You know, a great way to start your day before you get into the activities of your day, a great way to start your day is spend some time worshiping Jesus Christ. Spend some time praising Him. You say, well, what do I praise him about? Has he saved you? Has he forgiven you? Is he your redeemer? He's your savior, isn't he? He's your redeemer. He's your provider. He's your deliverer. He's everything to us. And so we just spend time praising him and worshiping him like we see the angels doing here. Angels are seen in your Bible offering up worship and praise to God. That's part of what an angel does. An angel, it worships and praises God. But number two, angels are seen bringing judgment upon the enemies of God. Hebrews 1:7 refers to God's angels as, quote, a flame of fire. Now, those of you who know your Bible know that in the Bible, fire often speaks of what? Judgment. And the Bible calls angels a flame of fire. Now, when you think about the Old Testament, there are many examples of angels bringing judgment. To me, one that sticks out in my mind is in Genesis 19, when two angels are sent by God to totally annihilate two perverse cities. Do you remember what they are? Sodom and Gomorrah. And these angels come and they basically just take it and they zap it. Sodom and Gomorrah, God brings judgment, sends these angels. Another example to me is in 2 Kings 19. When an angel comes and kills 185,000 leaders in the Assyrian army. 185,000 leaders in the Assyrian, 185,000 soldiers, boom, wiped out in one night by an angel. Now, is God a God of love? Some of you are like, oh, I don't know after hearing that. Come on now, is he a God of love? The Bible says God is love. That's part of who he, but is that all he is? No, I mean, there's more to God's character than just love. He's not one-dimensional. He's not just love. Can anybody else name another character attribute of God? He's love, but what else is he? He's holy. Good. Someone said he's righteous. Someone said he's just. He's a just God. He's faithful. Thank you. Yes, that's part of his character. He's faithful. He's merciful. Good. Gracious, somebody said. Now, he's a jealous God. Yes, absolutely. He's jealous, not in a bad way, in a good way. Jealous means he's zealous to protect his relationship with his people. That's right. That's part of his character. Good. Now, all these compose his character, right? He's love, but he's righteous. He's just, but he's merciful. Correct? All right. So God is love, but he's also a righteous God of judgment. If he's a righteous God of judgment, can God allow sin to go unpunished? Yes or no? He cannot. If God is a God of judgment, if he's the ultimate judge, and if he allowed sin to go unpunished, would he be a good judge? Well, no, that's not a good... I mean, if we had a judge in Daytona Beach and he let rapists and murderers go free, would we call him a good judge? No, they must be punished in a way that the law says. And a good judge sees to that. So God cannot, even though he's love, that's not all he is. He must punish sin. Now, throughout history, you can read in your Bible, God has used angels to administer his judgment upon the ungodly and the unbelieving. Sodom and Gomorrah is an example. The Assyrian army is an example. We could give many more. Go to Acts chapter 12. Let me show you a New Testament example. The book of Acts, chapter number 12. Y'all remember where that's at, right? What are the first five books of the New Testament? Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts. Acts chapter 12. Then we got the first letter of Paul after Acts. What's that? Romans. Romans, that's right. A little bit more than A's, Mike. Acts chapter number 12. All right, let's look at verse number 20. It says, "And Herod was highly displeased with them of Tyre and Sidon. But they came with one accord to him, and having made Blastus the king's chamberlain their friend, desired peace, because their country was nourished by the king's country. And upon a set day, Herod, arrayed in royal apparel, sat upon his throne and made an oration unto them," made a speech. "And the people gave a shout, saying, It's the voice of a God and not a man. And immediately, the what? The angel of the Lord smote him, because he gave not God the glory. And he was eaten of worms and gave up the ghost." That don't sound like a good way to go to me. How about you? An angel comes and smites him. We don't know that he felt it. We don't know that he maybe felt anything. But boom, judgment comes. In your handout, it says that angels are used by God to bring judgment to the world in the future. In the future, when the judgments begin to come on the earth, God's going to use angels. Go to Revelation chapter number 7 again. Let's go back there. Revelation 7. Angels are used by God to bring judgment on the world in the future. Revelation 7, verse 2. John said, "I saw another angel ascending from the east, having the seal of the living God, and he cried with a loud voice to the what? Four angels, to whom it was given to what, church? Hurt the earth and the sea, saying, hurt not the earth, neither the seed nor the trees, till we have sealed the servants of God in their foreheads. Now, where are we at right now? We are in the tribulation. We, the church, have already been raptured out. Now we're in a 7-year tribulation period in which God's going to bring judgment and wrath on the earth. He's going to use angels to do it. Look with me over at Revelation chapter 8. Look at verse number 5. It says, "And the angel took the censer and filled it with fire of the altar and cast it into the earth. And there were voices and thunderings and lightnings and an earthquake. And the seven angels which had the seven trumpets prepared themselves to sound. The first angel sounded, and there followed hail and fire mingled with blood, and they were cast upon the earth, and the third part of trees was burnt up, and all green grass was burnt up. And the second angel sounded, and it was, as it were, a great mountain burning with fire was cast into the sea, and the third part of the sea became blood, and the third part of the creatures which were in the sea and had life died, and the third part of the ships were destroyed." So in the world, in the future, okay, when once we're called out at the rapture, angels are seen bringing judgment down to the earth. But also in your handout, I'll give you that statement. I thought I already gave you that. So angels are seen bringing judgment to the earth in your handout. Number two, God uses angels to bring judgment to unbelievers. Go with me to Revelation 9. Just go forward a chapter. Chapter 9 and verse number 15. It says, "And the four angels were loosed, which were prepared for an hour and a day and a month and a year, for to slay the third part of men." Go with me to Revelation 14, chapter 14, verse 19. 14:19. It says, "And the angel thrust in his sickle into the earth and gathered the vine of the earth." That's speaking, the vine there is unbelievers, if you cross-reference that with Matthew. "He gathers the vine of the earth," unbelievers, "and cast it into the great winepress of the wrath of God." Look with me at Revelation 15, chapter 15, verse 1. "And I saw another sign in heaven, great and marvelous, seven angels having the seven last plagues, for in them is filled up the wrath of God." Go with me. Now, I had you get Matthew. Stay in Revelation. We're going to come right back to Revelation, but go to Matthew 13. Matthew chapter 13. Matthew 13, verse number, let's see, go to 40, verse number 40, 13:40. Jesus said, "As therefore the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so shall it be in the end of this world. The Son of Man shall send forth," look at it, "send forth his" what? "Angels. And they shall gather out of his kingdom all things that offend, and them which do iniquity." And the angels, notice, they're going to cast them into a furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. In our series on hell, we know what that's happening right there. We know there's a lake of fire that's been created on the earth that burns down into the fires of hell. And these angels gather up these unbelievers in the end of the tribulation, when Christ comes back, takes them and literally casts them into a lake of fire that everyone will see and behold. I'm just going to read this to you for time's sake. But the Apostle Paul also wrote of this judgment when he wrote this. Let me read this to you. He said, "Jesus is going to be coming back." Listen to this. "To you who are troubled, rest with us, when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. So angels are seen bringing judgment. God uses angels to bring judgment to the earth. He brings judgment to unbelievers through angels. But then go with me to Revelation 20. Revelation 20. Keep your bookmarker back in Matthew. We're going to go back there tonight. Revelation 20. And look with me at verse number 1. This is at the end. Now, this Christ came back at the second coming. He's come back to the earth. When Christ comes back to the earth, look at Revelation 20, verse 1. And I saw an angel. There it is again. I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years and cast him into the bottomless pit and shut him up and set a seal upon him that he should deceive the nations no more. An angel comes, brings judgment to Satan. While angels have been and will be used by God to bring judgment, you want to hear something really amazing? 1 Corinthians 6:3 says that one day believers will judge angels. You say, wait a minute, you already blew me away telling me we teach angels. Now you're telling me members of the body of Christ are going to judge angels? I'm just quoting 1 Corinthians 6:3 when Paul said that we are going to, members of the body of Christ will judge angels. Now, what does that mean? That's not the lesson for tonight, okay? So we will get into that in another lesson. And I'm going to talk to you about what that means when it says that one day in the world to come, we're going to judge angels. We'll get into that here in the next few... I'll do it on a Sunday night. Wouldn't want to try it on a Sunday morning. But for the Sunday night crowd, you'll enjoy that. We're going to talk about how we one day will judge angels. But for right now, here's my point, is that you see angels bringing judgment. But the Bible teaches that as members of the body of Christ, one day we will judge angels. Interesting. You know, given the fact that angels all through your Bible, they're called as we said in Hebrews 1:7, I think I mentioned that verse, a flame of fire. Given the fact that angels are called a flame of fire, and given the fact that a bulk of their duties in your Bible is to bring judgment, I don't know if I'd be so all fire and anxious to see an angel. How about you? You know, I don't know if I'm going to be going around. Like the Colossians, they were looking for angelic experiences. You know, Paul said, no, that's not what you need. You need to realize you're complete in Christ. Aren't you glad we don't need to go looking for angels? We found everything we need in our Savior, Jesus Christ. We found everything we need in Him. Let me give you the third point. Number three, angels in your Bible, a big part of what they do in your Bible is they're seen ministering to Jesus during His earthly life. They're seen serving Christ. Now, I believe that's a big part of what they're doing now. I believe that what they did on earth serving Christ was just a carryover of what they did before that, okay, and what they do after that. I think they are there to serve the Lamb. They're there to worship the Lamb. We saw that. And they're there to serve the Lamb. They're there to do what Jesus tells them to do. They take their orders and they do what Christ tells them to do. The Bible doesn't give us a whole lot of detail as far as just all the different things. We know there's a conflict going on between Satan's angels and God's angels. We know there's a battle raging right now. We know that there is ranks of and positions of authority up there in heavenly places. We know that other than the third heaven where God's throne room is, the angels of Satan have access to the first and second heavens. Not the third heaven where God is in the New Jerusalem, but they have access. And we know that God's angels do, and we know there's this conflict going on. In fact, in Revelation chapter 12, the Bible says that there's great war in heaven in the tribulation. And that Satan's angels and Satan himself are booted out of the heavenly places. And they're booted out. They're no longer allowed to occupy. And they come down to the earth with great wrath. So, you know, the Bible doesn't give us a whole lot of detail. Back there in Daniel, remember I mentioned it on Sunday morning last week, how that an angel was trying to get to Daniel. And he was hindered from getting to Daniel, and it took him 3 weeks to get there. And he said, Michael, the archangel, had to come help me. Whew. Wow. Some deep stuff. But there's a lot of activity going on there. But one of the things they do what Jesus needs them to do and what he asks them to do. And when he was on the earth, it was no different. Angels were there for Christ all during his earthly life. You look at Christ's life from beginning to end and you see angelic activity involved. They were constantly there to help and assist Christ in any way. In your handout, it says an angel announced the birth of Jesus. We read that last week, so we won't go read it again. But you remember, we read about that over in Luke chapter 1 when the angel came to Mary. In the Bibles, so you may remember, what was the angel's name? Gabriel. You know, you don't get the name of too many angels in your Bible. Just a couple. And Gabriel's one of those. And the Bible says that Gabriel was sent from God. So God said, hey, Gabe. Probably called him Gabe. You think he called him Gabe? Hey, Gabe. Got a job for you. And Gabe is sent to a virgin, espoused to a man whose name was Joseph. And the virgin's name was Mary. And the Bible says the angel came in unto her and said, hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and then you know the rest of the story. Now go to Matthew chapter number 1. Matthew chapter 1. Not only did old Gabe there go to Mary, but notice that in Matthew 1 verse 20, once Joseph finds out that Mary's pregnant, verse 20 says, but while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. Again, angels aren't like us. They're spirit beings. So angels have the ability here to communicate in a person's mind while they're sleeping. I know that it's hard for us to understand, but as spirit beings, they have that capability to be able to do that. So this angel is communicating to Joseph in a dream and then gives him instruction about Mary. In your handout, it says an angel warned Mary and Joseph to flee into Egypt and then told them when it was safe to return. So when you write that in, go to Matthew 2:13. It says, and when they were departed, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream again, saying, arise and take the young child and his mother and flee into Egypt, and be thou there until I bring thee word. For Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. Go over to Matthew 2:19, verse 19. But when Herod was dead, behold, just like he said he would, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt, saying, arise, take the young child and his mother and go into the land of Israel. You remember angels announced to the shepherds Christ's birth. And you remember how the shepherds were in the field and the angels came and a great first there's one angel. Then he brings his buddies along. And the Bible says there's a great multitude of heavenly hosts praising God. And saying peace on earth, goodwill toward men. And they're singing right out there in the fields with these shepherds. And they're proclaiming this. And man, how exciting must that have been, you know? But go to Matthew chapter 4 and look at verse 11. Matthew 4:11. Jesus goes out into the wilderness. He's tempted for 40 days and 40 nights by Satan. And in verse 11, it says, then the devil leaveth him, and behold, who came and ministered unto Jesus? Angels came. In your handout, it says angels ministered to Jesus after his temptation in the wilderness. Angels ministered to Jesus after his temptation. Can anybody tell me, when Jesus Christ was in the Garden of Gethsemane, and when he knew the cross was imminent, and the Bible says that he's in the garden there and he's praying and he's sweating, as it were, great drops of blood. Does anybody remember what was it that came and strengthened Jesus? Luke 22, tells us it was an angel. Y'all should have known that. I'm teaching on angels tonight. An angel came and strengthened Jesus. Isn't that amazing? In your handout, it says that angels were ready to assist Jesus while on the cross. Does anybody remember how many legions of angels did he say he could bring? 12 legions of angels. He said, I could call on them right now and they'd be there to help me if I called on them. 12 legions of angels God dispatched to be watching right there. In your handout, it says, an angel rolled away the stone in front of the tomb of Jesus. In Matthew 28:2, remember we talked about that, how strong angels are? And we talked about how huge those granite stones were and how an angel moves that granite stone that was in front of the tomb, just moves it aside and then just perches right on top of it. And again, we see angels. Next thing in your handout, angels accompanied Christ at his ascension into heaven. When Christ ascended up into heavenly places, the Bible tells us that angels were there in Acts 1:10. And then let me give you the last thing there. Angels will accompany Christ when he returns to the earth the second time. Angels will accompany Christ when he returns. Go to Matthew again, Matthew 16. Matthew chapter 16, verse 27. Matthew 16, 27. For the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father, and then what does it say there? With his angels. Then shall he reward every man according to his works. Go to Matthew 24. Matthew chapter 24, verse number 30. Now, I hope you're getting an idea here about angels, and that angels aren't just floating around on clouds, you know. They've got things they're doing. Look at verse number 30. Matthew 24, verse 30. It says, and then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. And then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And he shall send his, say it with me, angels, with a great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from the end of heaven to the other. When he comes back at the second coming, he's got one set of angels that are going to go out. They're going to gather up all the saved of the Jewish nation of Israel. They're going to gather together the elect, and they're going to bring them into that land that he promised them. Then he's got another group of angels. Their job is they go out and gather the tares. They go out and these angels gather up all the ungodly. We read about it in Matthew 13. All those that work iniquity and all those who are unbelievers, and they take them and they throw them in the furnace of fire. So you got these angels doing different things here when he comes back the second time. But you know what really hit me as I was studying this is that angels constantly keep their eyes focused on Jesus Christ and what he wants them to do. No matter where Jesus Christ led, whether it was out in the wilderness, whether it was in the Garden of Gethsemane, whether it was to the cross, these angels followed Jesus Christ. No matter who betrayed Christ, no matter who fell into sin, no matter who cursed and swore and denied him, these angels stood true to Jesus Christ. And I thought, man, what a lesson for us. Just like these angels keep their eyes focused on Christ and what he would have them to do, my friend, we need to keep our eyes focused on Jesus Christ, and we need to look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, and we need to be willing to follow him wherever he leads, regardless of who else around us follows him. We need to be willing to follow him with that loyalty and that dedication, that we're going to follow him wherever he leads, because our eyes are focused and fixed on him. Not on Pastor Rob, not on Pastor Dan, not on Pastor Rich, not on anyone else. Listen, you're going to have people disappoint you. You know, and wouldn't it have been silly for the angels to one of them to say to the other one, well, that Peter, he just cursed and swore and he denied the Lord. Well, boy, he really disappointed me. I tell you what, I'm just through with it all. I'm done. You know, that's what people do. Well, that person let me down. That person disappointed me. And so I'm just done. I'm just going to quit. Well, aren't you glad angels don't do that? You know, we don't need to be that way. It doesn't matter if Rob quits. It doesn't matter if Paul says, I'm done. I'm walking away, man. I'm not going to serve the Lord. That doesn't matter. My eyes shouldn't be on you and they shouldn't be on you. They ought to be on Jesus. That's where my eyes ought to be. And that's just a practical thing I want to give you about these angels. It's how loyal they were to Christ. But number four, last thing. I'm just going to go through this quickly. Angels are seen ministering to the nation of Israel. All throughout Israel's early existence, from Abraham all the way through, you see God superintending the affairs of the nation of Israel through angels. Over and over again, the nation of Israel enjoyed angelic instruction and intervention in many different ways. Can I just give them to you real quick? Get your pen ready and get ready to write. We don't have time to look up all the verses. You look them up this week. But let me just give you these real quickly. Number one, it was an angel that confirmed God's covenant promise to Abraham. Is it ringing a little? Bring back the A's. It's kind of ringing, Mike. It was an angel that confirmed God's promise to Abraham. Number two there, you see it was an angel that prevented Abraham from killing the child of promise, Isaac. Remember when he was about to obey the Lord, brings up the knife, an angel stops him. Next thing, it was an angel that gave Israel guidance and led them from the bondage of Egypt to their promised land. They had angelic guidance as they left Egypt and they went into the promised land. Next thing, it was an angel that would help Israel drive out the enemy nations. He said, I'm going to send the angel of the Lord to help you drive out these nations. Hey, this is a good one. Look at the next one. It was through angels that Israel received God's law. It was through angelic mediation that they received the law of God, the Bible says in Galatians 3:19. Next thing there, angels gave encouragement and comfort to Israel's leaders and prophets at various times. Angels brought judgment and chastisement to Israel when they needed it. Angels brought miraculous deliverance when needed. I've got an example there of Daniel being delivered in the lion's den, and the angel delivers him. Next thing there, when Jesus returns to earth to give Israel their promised kingdom, he sends his angels to gather them. We just read this. He sends out angels to gather Israel from the ends of the earth. Israel has had angelic ministry throughout their history. Angels have delivered and protected and encamped around the nation of Israel. And look up here, folks. All of prophecy in your Bible, all of prophecy in your Bible points to the day when God is going to give Israel its long-awaited earthly kingdom. But the God of this world, Satan, he wants to see to it that that never happens because he wants that land. So the battle rages between God's angels and Satan's angels, and that battle continues to rage until the day when Christ rules and reigns on this earth from his throne in Jerusalem. Can I submit to you tonight? Angels are not floating around on clouds playing harps, amen? In your handout it says they are busy creatures that are carrying on the business of heaven. Now, look up here. We saw four things. They're offering up worship and praise up in heaven. Then we see them down here on earth bringing judgment on God's enemies. Then we see them down here on earth ministering and serving Christ. Then we see them going all throughout protecting the nation of Israel and overseeing the affairs of that nation. But now look up here. Under each one of those four main points I gave you, you saw all the subpoints. All the multiple things that an angel does in their daily duties. You know, there's all, I mean, you name it. And an angel's out there doing it and getting it done. You say, well, what about us? You know, I mean, you got angels doing everything from gathering up people and throwing them in a furnace of fire to coming gently alongside a discouraged prophet. and making him some food, frying up some food and giving it to him, and saying, here, eat this, and then laying him down, letting him get some sleep, then waking him up, feeding him again. Angels do cook, Lessa. Just read the story of Elijah, you know. And an angel comes. So you see angels doing everything from just bringing down fires of judgment on people and on cities and killing entire armies to coming alongside a prophet and encouraging him when he needs it, when he's discouraged and wants to quit. So you see all this and you think, well, what about us today in the dispensation of grace? What about the church? What about the body of Christ? What role do angels play in our lives? And you know what? We saw last Sunday morning that, of course, we don't need angelic instruction because we've got the completed Word of God. We've got the author of the book living inside of us. And we are complete in Christ. So we don't need that. But what about some of these other things angels do? Do we need some of that? Well, we're going to look at that in the coming weeks, and we're going to learn, and we're going to grow. Okay, and we're going to understand these things. But tonight, I wanted to give you more of just a general idea of what, man, angels are powerful. They're seasoned warriors. They're busy. They're carrying on the affairs of heaven. They're doing what Christ would have them to do. And they're very multifaceted in the things that they do. So hopefully you got a general description tonight of what the jobs of angels, what they do. We'll explore this deeper, okay, in the weeks to come. So let's go ahead and go to the Lord in prayer tonight.